Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Flow Track podcast. Sorry for a little bit of a delay. We had some minor technical difficulties, but our amazing producer, Amanda, came through in clutch. I am Liv Ekpone, joined with Ashley Titians. It's been a quiet weekend, but then you look forward ahead and it's just like mad dash to the finish with so many events going
on. There's just too much to talk about. I feel like we could have like a 2-hour show if you really wanted to.
Yeah, we probably could.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are going to condense our show into about roughly an hour. But before we bring on our very special guest today, we have to thank our wonderful sponsors, aka Wonderful Pistachios. If you're looking for a delicious and nutritious snack that is packed with a real protein punch, you guys got to crack into a good source of protein with tasty, healthy, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios contains 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. It's one of the highest protein nuts out there, but that's not all. Pistachios are also known for their fiber and their better for you unsaturated fats, which may help you feel fuller longer. And the best part about it is Wonderful Pistachio comes in a variety of flavors. We finished the seasoned salt. We're on salt and pepper now. I've been tapping into the unsalted. Good. You have been cracking into the chili pepper lately. So whether you're looking to have a snack on the go when you're dropping your kids off at their activities after school, while you're in between meetings, make sure you grab a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. They'll become your now go-to snack. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com. to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Without further ado, I am like super stoked for our guest for today. Yes. So Ashley, who do we have joining us?
Yes, today we are welcoming Adam Tribble, who is the head coach at CBU, and he began his time there in 2018. And since then, he's earned countless Western Athletic Conference Cross Country Coaches of the Year awards. And in 2022, he helped the CBU program earn a perfect sweep of the WAC Cross Country Championships. You know, prior to CBU, he was at the University of Alabama for quite some time, and then has also spent some time, you know, within the Southeast. And so we are here to welcome Adam Tribble. Thank you for joining our show today.
No, thank you for having me.
So first off, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you got to CBU. You know, you started there in 2018. You were coming over from Alabama. You spent much of your, you know, your life in the Southeast, and you make that move to go over to California. You know, what was that transition like to be, you know, part of, you know, a Power Five program and then going to somewhere, you know, like CBU that was going through that transition from being at the D2 level to the D1 level?
Yeah, well, you know, I spent 5 years at the University of Arkansas, and then I was 2 years at Oregon State as well. So I'd kind of been all over the country. But yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where I'd never even heard of CBU when they contacted me, but they had sent out a lot of emails, and they sent me an email, and just kind of the more I looked into it, the more intriguing it became, and one thing leads to another.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it became home for you. So CBU does not normally take the normal approach as other D1 cross country and track programs. You guys solely focus on recruiting distance runners. So there's a huge focus on finding that international talent, and the programs are fully funded by the school and the athletic department. So how has that approach kind of fostered a unique, successful culture within the program?
Well, I mean, we're not dead set on internationals. That's just where we've had more success. You know, I think when it comes to being focused on distance, I mean, so many, in all honesty, so many of the top distance programs do that. I think the thing that we do is like we just don't kind of expand out, and we don't have a bunch of walk-on throwers or sprinters or jumpers. And so we just try to put all of our eggs in the basket for just to try to be more successful as opposed to getting watered down, you know. And I think especially when you're talking about a small private school and the place that we are, it's just a way I think that we can get the most bang for our buck and be the most efficient with the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, that formula certainly worked for you guys. You know, looking how, you know, back to 2022 even, we saw, you know, the women compete at NCAAs and, you know, have, I mean, both the men's and the women's programs have been extremely successful at that NCAA Division I level now that they, you know, kind of went through that period where they weren't allowed to compete, you know, as they transitioned from D2 to D1. You know, what do you think that, especially looking back at last year, what do you think that stepping stone was like for, you know, both programs?
Well, you know, it had been a long time coming. And so one thing I will say is that the transition is brutal.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And that's something that it was way more difficult than I ever would have imagined. And I think one of the things that, ironically enough, helped get us through it was COVID. And just because it was a difficult time for us, but then also with COVID going on, it's a difficult time for the entire world. And I think we had a lot of support here from our university administration that just helped enable us to be able to help take care of the people on the team in those difficult times. And I think that really kind of helped to bridge the gap, if that makes sense, over those middle years, which was a very trying time.
Mm-hmm. I want to take us back 2 weekends ago, Coach Tribble, because you guys had a successful showing at Nuddycombe. And what would you say that specific performance for both your teams there kind of taught you about where your team was at this point of the season? As Ashley and I mentioned, like, this weekend we're starting to move into championships and we're less than a month away from NCAA. So just based off what you saw at Nuddycombe, what did that kind of teach you about where your team was at?
It just told me that they were really, really tough. And I knew that we had, well, I didn't know, I was quite confident that we had the fitness in order to be able to be successful. But I think especially when two factors, one, when you're in so many people in such a tight area. And I think especially for when you haven't really, you don't have a lot of experience in that, I think that could be a very difficult thing. But then the second factor was just the conditions. I mean, that was just a thing of where I was telling them that, you can have thousands of reasons to be able to ease off, because it was going to be hard for everybody. And it was going to be a matter, not necessarily of fitness, it was just going to be a matter of desire and tenacity to get through it, because that was a brutal day for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I'm glad I wasn't running in those conditions, because it looked brutal out there.
Yeah.
You know, speaking a little too on, you know, some of that tenacity you learned from your team at Nuddycombe, do you think that also, you know, kind of speaks to your team's chemistry this year on both the men's and women's sides as well?
Yeah, this is a very special group. And I think it's one of those things of where, I mean, obviously, every year and every group is different. But I would say that this is more than probably any group I've ever been a part of in the last, whatever, 20-something years. It's just a special group that I just kind of enjoy being with. And it makes it a whole lot more rewarding, and it's a whole lot more exciting when you just enjoy going to practice even more than usual, because it's just a great group. And I think they have, obviously they have a great deal of ability, but they have a lot of desire right now. And so I think it's really special to see. And I think it's special to see that they can start to see some of the fruits of all the work they've put in, not just this year, but in the years gone by.
Before I ask my follow-up question, something came into mind. I can hear the passion in your voice. What is your favorite thing about coaching? What about coaching gets you fired up every day?
When people can do things that they didn't think that they could. And I think especially when you're talking about being a distance runner, so many times it takes a long time to get to the spot that you want to get at. And I think we have a number of people that have been at this and been going for a long time. And when they can finally start to see that breakthrough, that's just exciting to be a part of. And it's just exciting to see just the joy and the happiness that they have after they've sacrificed and given so much to be the best they can be.
I absolutely love that. And I know we're talking so much about your teams, and obviously the team chemistry, I think from Ashley and I's perspective, is very evident that you and the team have been putting in a lot of work. The CBU women are ranked 12th now, and the men are ranked 5th in the latest USTF CCCA coaches poll. What do you think has been the biggest key for the team so far this year when it comes to racing against the nation's elite and getting vaulted into that national conversation, especially for the men who didn't compete at NCAAs last year?
Yeah, I mean, since you mentioned the men, I think the men last year had the ability to do it. And I think we had, obviously, with the way that the COLAS and the qualifying situation goes, we just ended up, we were the first ones out. And so I think that's just, I mean, it was, we had some things not go perfectly, and it was a myriad of just odd circumstances. But I personally, I think last year the men were at a spot to be at the national level, and obviously the women were able to get through. But I think right now, I think if anything, I think not making it last year really helped to motivate the men. And I think both teams kind of feed off each other. And I think the better one does, it just motivates the other. And I think it just creates a great balance. You know, I think it makes it a whole lot easier and a whole lot more fun when both teams are kind of moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And as Olivia mentioned earlier, you know, now we just got, you know, conference regionals and hopefully NCAAs. What are you telling your, you know, your team, you know, how to attack these next, you know, really important meets coming up?
We only do it one day and one race at a time. And so like right now, we're not talking about regionals or nationals or anything else. The only thing that we're talking about is WAC. Like, I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes to each other, but we don't want to talk about anything else. And so I think it can be a big distraction if you're starting to think about next week and the following and the following. And so it's just the next race is the only one that matters. And so right now, all of our focus is on WAC and Abilene, Texas this Friday. Mm-hmm.
And we know that you've been in Cali for such a period of time right now over the last few years. What has been kind of the life for Coach Tribble on the south, you know, on this side of the part of the country? What is your favorite part about California?
I think my most favorite part is just that it creates such a great atmosphere for athletes to be successful. And I mean, we have obviously some of the best weather year round in the nation. You can get to the Laguna Beach in 45 minutes. You can get to the mountains in 50 to 60 minutes. And so I think the thing that makes it exciting for me is just being able to be at a place where it creates so many great opportunities and such a great situation for the team. And I mean, I think we just have a very special, unique setup here. And I think it really does provide a great opportunity for people to have a great experience in college and really be able to take the running to another level.
And now, Coach Tribble, before we let you go, we're going to ask you one question that we ask pretty much all of our guests that come onto the show. Do you prefer cross country or track?
I prefer whichever season we're in. And I think there's good things about
it. I knew that was coming.
I mean, in cross country, the thing that makes cross country so special is that it's about a team. And the thing that makes track special is it's just about the individual. And I think it's great that people get the opportunity to do both. And I think that's one of the things that so many times I think people who don't come to the NCAA, they don't really get to experience how neat that team component is when it comes to cross country. And that's why I think cross country without a team is pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're just out there. And like I was saying, you have a thousand reasons to ease off. But when you know that obviously you're not just running for yourself, you're running for your teammates, and you're running to try to put a great team score up, that's what makes it special. And then from a track standpoint, obviously it's just trying to run as fast as you can. And I think I think they really, really complement each other very well.
I love that. Coach Tribble, thank you so much for your time today and wishing you all the best as you move towards, you know, conference, regionals. Ashley and I will be at NCAAs. We'll be in Charlottesville. So I'm throwing this out there in existence. We are looking forward to seeing you and both your teams there. So we're wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. What a great interview with Coach Tribble. It's so great to see him being successful and just watching CBU just do amazing things this part of the season. So we're wishing them all the best. Now as we move into the other segments of our show.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's so much to talk about. Let's start off the show after the wonderful interview we had there with Coach Tribble. We got to talk about Grant Fisher leaving the Bowerman Track Club.
Yes.
This hit, I feel like, everybody's social media channels over the last week. I know we have a screenshot of his Instagram where he just shared that, you know, the track club, he's grateful for the opportunities and huge defining part of his season over the last 4 years. And his time there has just been transformative for him as an athlete, as a person. But right now he doesn't see it fitting his future and the goals that he has with the club moving forward. So Ashley, what was just kind of your thoughts as this hit your phone?
I mean, this
phone?
This was the breaking news on Thursday evening. I think I put my phone down maybe for like a 20-minute period on Thursday evening. All of a sudden, I open it up, and it's like 20 text messages about Grant Fisher leaving the Bowerman Track Club, which I guess it kind of comes as a shock, you know? Like, Grant Fisher, you know, since he graduated from Stanford, like, he's been with Bowerman this whole time.
Yeah.
He's four years at Bowerman, you know, one of the, and if you look at the record books, he's one of the greatest, technically, you know, U.S. distance runners of all time. He has North American records in the 3K, the 5K, and the 10K. You know, if you look at what he did at the Tokyo Olympics in 2021, he finished ninth in the 5K, I believe, and fifth in the 10K. So, I mean, he's very accomplished, and he did all this while at Bowerman. And so for him to be now making this move in his career after arguably one of the better seasons of his career, minus his injury where he wasn't able to go to Worlds, you know, I think that's a little bit surprising. What do you think?
I was definitely shocked by this. It's just as much as you were. And like you said, I know he's been battling with an injury, but like since that injury, he's been finishing strong. He's competed in only six races this outdoor season. He was fourth at trials, 28-25 in the 10K. He then had a very strong finish at Prefontaine Classic where he was third in the 3K with a 7:25.
I mean, that was an American record right there, you know?
Insane, right? Mm-hmm. And then competed in the Zurich Diamond League where he was third in the 5K with a season's best of 12:54. So my brain was like, something, I feel like, how do you go from running and finishing well in the season to all of a sudden now being like, this is not the right move for me?
Yeah. It makes you wonder
internally
many things.
Yeah,
you know, now my question too is like, is he not the only one to leave? You know, like, who else could potentially follow? Like, is this going to be a mass exodus potentially? Like, who knows? But but of course now the other question on everyone's mind, because he hasn't, you know, divulged like where he's planning on going next.
Right.
He said that he's leaving Bowerman, but he hasn't said where he's going to go next, you know, coaching-wise, and if he's going to join, you know, any club or anything.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I know we debated about this earlier today, and
we have
some different opinions.
Okay, so I think my first initial thought was, like, the OAC group, right?
But he's with Nike, so
exactly.
That's not
gonna happen. So then it, of course, what Ashley just said, I was like, wait, that can't happen. So now it's like, what happens next? Does he join NN Running and train in Kenya? And his former Bowerman teammate, Mark Scott, is now doing that. Also, I'm thinking about NAU, going with Mike Smith, possibly training with Gravala out there. So I feel like that's where I'm leaning towards.
Okay. So Mike Smith? Flagstaff?
Yes.
Okay.
Going to Flagstaff.
I feel like that's plausible. You know, like, Mike Smith has seen a lot of success with those athletes here that he's training, obviously with NAA, but then also with, like, Louis Grijalva.
Yes.
Abdi Noor. Like, they, you know, he's definitely had a, you know, a proven track record of, you know, getting people to those world championships and competing on a high level. You know, that's originally where I was thinking. I think that's a very plausible option.
But
then, okay, then I was thinking more, and I was, like, digging into, you know, a lot of the very prominent coaches around. And I was like, okay, what if he goes back to Chris Miltenberg? You know, Chris Miltenberg was his coach at Stanford when he was in college at Stanford. Now Miltenberg's at UNC, and he's the head of those programs. But, I mean, we saw how successful Grant Fisher was in Stanford. Like, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like,
right.
Isn't that the saying? Like, I mean, maybe he, you know, takes that route and goes with them. But I could also see Mike Smith. I feel like those are some of the leading options. I know there's other, you know, options out there. Like, he could go train with Pete Julian, you know, some of those other options. Like, I'm just curious.
See, my brain is like, how likely is he going to go back to where he left?
Why not?
Well, he left it. left that part of his life for a reason. Unless it was just something in his contract where Nike was like, hey, you got to go XYZ.
I don't know. I mean, I will say I think I'm going to go the Miltenberg route. You know, I kind of like that plot line. Like, it's good
you
for
like
the
that.
Plot. It's good for the plot, you know. Oh, wow.
Returns
you know,
back
I,
to old
I ran
coach.
For him in college and now, yeah, return to old coach. It's a good storyline. Do it for
I like
the headline,
NAU storyline. I like the Coach Mike Smith storyline.
I do also think that's very plausible.
I just don't know where else.
I guess we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Once he actually makes his announcement, that's going to be like the breaking news of the
day. That's going to be the breaking news. So stay tuned because I'm invested in this decision here. As I mentioned before, we went from a very quiet weekend to all, you know,
we got
a lot, and get ready.
Because it is conference championship week.
It is conference championship weekend. We're going to kick off some previews. We're going to drop our picks for the champion for both the individual and the team, men and women, for We're going to start things off with the ACC. We're going to go through a couple of conferences, and then we'll do some rapid fire. But let's dive into ACC. In my personal opinion, I think this is the most competitive conference that we have on the dock. Of course, we're going to see teams like Syracuse, UNC, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Virginia, NC State. So let's start with the men.
Okay.
I feel like the women's a little bit on the easier side. Let's start with the men.
Ooh, debate time. I'm ready.
Okay,
individually. Let's start
there. Well, actually, first, I'm going to outline the field.
Yes, outline the field.
So like you mentioned, the ACC is by far the deepest conference in all of NCAAs. If you look at the men specifically, if you're looking at teams that are currently ranked in the USTF CCCO coaches poll, you have Syracuse, UNC, Notre Dame, and Wake Forest. I mean, that's four really, really strong teams right there. And do we want to go ahead and, like, divulge our picks and explain? Is that how we're going to do this?
That's how I envision. But we, yes.
Okay.
You can do whatever you
want. I'll start with the team. I'll start with the men's team.
Okay.
How about that?
Let's start there.
When I'm looking at the ACC this year, Syracuse has been impressing me this entire season. You know, they started off the season, they went to the UVA Invitational, you know, with all the other top teams in the country. They finished fourth behind UNC.
Mm-hmm.
UNC finishes third there. But then if you look at Nutty Combe, they blew me away.
Yeah.
They finished third at Nutty Combe. UNC finished 10th. I mean, that right there, that shows the grit. You know, like we all know, as Coach Tribble was saying in his interview earlier, Nutty Combe was gross. It was windy. It was rainy. Like, that is where, you know, you could have every excuse to not do well as a team.
Right.
But they pulled out a third place finish. And so to me, that shows me that they are tough and they're ready for that championship type of, you know, competition that you need, that grit that you need to compete for a team title. So I'm going to say the men of Syracuse are going to win. Also, if you look at their spread, like from 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're like all right there together.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also a big key when you're looking to win team titles. Like, hey, maybe you may not have someone who's going to win the individual race, but if you have all of your top guys right there together and that spread's really small, that's also a good thing. So I will say the Syracuse men absolutely will win.
Well,
absolutely.
I agree with Ashley there. I think Syracuse men really, like you said, impressed me with Nutty Combe. If you can survive the conditions that were there that weekend, the rain, the wind, the cold, like, I'm from Maryland, and I'm thinking NCAAs is in Virginia. It's pretty much the same thing, right? You don't know what to expect in Virginia. Make sure you just pack a coat. It's going to be cold. It's going to be questionable if it might snow during that time. So if you
snow.
Can...
Snow? Oh, my gosh.
It snows in Virginia.
It's not going to snow at NCAAs.
Watch. Okay?
Okay.
So my thing is, if you can survive that and put a solid performance, you can do anything. So I agree with you with Syracuse. Mm.
Okay.
Now, individually.
Oh, this is interesting.
Yes. Well, do you share. Do you share. Who do you pick
in
the ACCs on the men's side?
I see your point. I know who your pick is, and I see
I know
your
who
point.
Your pick.
So for my pick for the men's individual for ACCs, I'm going to go with Parker Wolf. You know, he's very experienced. He's been UNC's top guy. He has been so consistent all year long. You know, he finished second last year to Notre Dame's Carter Solomon, who just outkicked him at the end. And, like, if you haven't seen that race, epic finish. But Parker Wolf has been doing really well. You know, I believe he finished second at the UVA Invitational and then, finished top 10, I believe, too, at Nutty Combe. And so I feel like that, you know, that experience that he already has, you know, competing at such a high level, I think that's going to carry him through to a title.
Okay. This is where Ashley and I...
This is your hot take.
Differ. I don't think it's a hot take.
I think it's a hot
take.
Okay.
I'm actually surprised. Like I said, I think it was the last show or the week before. Ashley is a North Carolina fan. She grew up in North Carolina. I went with Rocky Hansen, native of North Carolina. Yes, I understand he's a freshman, but he has so much experience already underneath his belt just from the high school level. This is a guy that was 11th at Champs Nationals cross country last year. If you look at what he's done, right, kicks off the season with a fifth place finish at the Virginia Invitational, 23:30. Now I'm going to compare him to Parker Wolf here. Parker Wolf was second at that meet, 23:23. Mm-hmm. He was literally 7 seconds behind, okay? Recently, at Nutty Combe, Hansen had the upper hand. He finished sixth overall with a 23:27. Wolf was 23:29, so 2 seconds back. Right now, we're tied, 1-1. I feel like if it comes down to it, I feel like Rocky Hansen's taking this victory. I feel like Rocky Hansen has been that freshman who's really put himself out there, knows how to toe the line against literally the nation's best, and is up there in the front. Rocky Hansen's my pick.
You know I like the pick. I'm not going to discount the pick because, again, big Rocky fan, and he's been running really well this season. But
see, there's the butt in the sentence.
I do think there's almost a revenge factor here for Parker Wolf.
Okay, I see that.
Have you seen that race from last year where he gets outkicked to just finish second at ACC?
Let's not add more salt to the wound. Yes, but yes.
Okay.
I understand.
Do you not think that's probably replaying in
his
head?
It probably is, yeah.
If that were me, I'd be like, no, there's no way I'm getting beat again.
I understand that. So Rocky Hansen has nothing to lose, though. So he might as well just go out and...
That's another good point. You know, like, you're right. Like, he has nothing to lose. So, like, why not go out there and put yourself in contention to put the pressure on, you know, Wolf and the other people in that race to go after you? I think that's also a good point. But I guess no hard feelings for anyone, but I'm going to go with Parker.
Okay, well, I stand behind my pick of Rocky Hansen. Okay, now that we got the guy's side taken care of, let's talk about the ladies.
Okay, so I feel like for the ladies, like you mentioned, it's a little more straightforward, I think, in terms of where my predictions are going.
Yeah.
You know, NC State may have lost to NAU at Nuttycombe, but that doesn't mean that they're not still, like one of the best programs in the NCAA and that they should probably dominate the ACC championships, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at this, I expect Caitlin Tui to go in and defend her title, per usual. Expect probably Kelsey Camille to be, you know, second there, so they'll probably go 1-2. Mm-hmm. Expect, you know, star freshman Leah Stevens and Grace Hartman up there. And then if Amaris and Sam Bush are running as well, I think that could be a pretty dominant showing, in my opinion, for the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
That's personally how I see that playing out. And so, you know, I have Caitlin Tui as my winner there for the women and then go Pack for the team title.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think we talked, was it last week that we talked about NC State, how, like, don't count them out right now.
Like, yeah, like, I don't want to hear anyone saying that, like, oh, NC State's over.
No. They're not over. And you can have one tough, and I think it's always good to have that one tough race where the top team gets a little knocked off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like it fuels that fire a little bit more.
Yeah.
But also, it shows, like, hey, we can still be dominant, right?
Yeah.
Like, they still had a top place finish. There might be some things they need to tweak on and work on. But I think with just looking at NC State, and I'm also thinking about their incoming freshmen right now, because they're so dominant. As you mentioned, Leah Stevens is one of them. Kate Putman is there as well. Angelina Napoleon, who's a national high school record holder in the steeplechase, also there. They have a lot of options, right? So,
well, they
in
won't
a
go,
sense,
they won't go to Napoleon
won't go
or
to them, right.
Or any of those, but...
Right, but I'm just saying, like, as this team unfolds a little bit more and they develop, they're going to have that, they have that depth right now. So as we look forward into the upcoming, you know, championship part of the season, they have a stacked team right now.
Yes,
it's
I think really the question obviously that everyone has is, well, not that everyone has, I think they're going to win. I guess it's just the question is how dominant will it be? Just based on like who that top seven is that they put out there. That's really just the question.
That's the question. Who's the top seven?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that does it for the ACC conference. Let's move on to Big 12. So this is going to be in Ames, Iowa. I'm really curious. Ooh, what side do you want to start on, men or women?
Let's start with the women.
Okay, women.
I'm going to talk with the women first.
Let's talk about the women. Go ahead.
Well, first off, I think probably the biggest storyline here is you have the addition of BYU into the Big 12 this year.
Yes.
They've entered the Big 12. I mean, that has huge implications for, you know, the conference champions here, both on the men's and the women's side when you add those programs in. And, you know, looking at the rest of the conference, I mean, you have OK State, Texas, Iowa State, like the list goes on. Like, it's a very competitive conference.
Right.
You know, if you're looking especially at the women, I think how we've seen BYU run so far this season, I mean, they won the UVA Invitational pretty pre-Nats.
Yes,
pretty dominantly. And we always know Coach Taylor and that crew is going to be fine-tuned for championship season. So for the women, I'm going to have to pick BYU. You know, I think they enter the Big 12 and they grab this win here. On the individual side, it's a little more, I feel like, up in the air. I don't know.
Is it?
I think so. Well, first, what do you agree with me that BYU women will win the title?
Yes, for me, that's hands down. Like, BYU is, in my opinion, the heavy favorite going into Big 12.
Okay, well then, what are your thoughts? You said it wasn't like super contentious on the individual front, so who do you have there?
I have Billa Shapiro down as the individual champion.
Well, I guess we're on the same page.
We're on the same page here with this one.
I mean, okay, so she is from OK State, and
yes,
obviously we haven't seen Oklahoma State run in a little bit. You know, they ran at the Cowboy Jamboree, and they haven't really ran since then. But the way she ran at the Jamboree, I mean, she won that title there, and, you know, very impressive, and she finished third at this meet last year. I think this could be her time to, you know, get that win.
Right. Speaking of OK State, I have like three questions that I feel like Liv needs answered. Maybe not, we might
three
not
questions?
Be able to, yeah, I have three. Well, actually, two of them is a question, one of them is a statement. Let me do with my question, and then before we move on to the men's side, I have a statement. My question is, are we concerned about OK State as a whole, as a team, knowing that the last time they've competed has been at the Cowboy Jamboree a month ago? Are they going to be sharp enough?
I will give you two answers.
Two. It should be one.
Two. Okay, because I'm playing devil's advocate both ways. So, yes, they haven't raced in like a month. But, okay, so you look at it this way. They take that month, they put in some really hard training, get that fitness up, then you, you know, go debut at conference, no one really knows what to expect, boom, you go out there and you shock everyone.
Okay.
That's one.
Okay.
Or there's always the debate and the argument that, like, if you haven't raced that long, are you going to be fine-tuned for those, you know, those racing tactics and stuff on the day? I don't know. I'm not going to give an answer.
But brain now
those are the
two
ways
two
you could answer. Those are the two ways you could answer that question.
Okay, because my brain goes to two different places for this. The one that's sticking in my head right now is I understand putting in the hard work and then boom, shocking people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also thinking about like sharpness and getting into that race mode before it's actually time to take the test, right? Like, think about when we were in college. Some of us had some classes. I remember having, like, a study guide where they give you, like, the pretest ahead of time, right? So you have an understanding of what kind of questions are being answered before you're actually given the exam, right? You're more prepared.
Are you giving me a school analogy
I'm
right now?
I'm just saying, because I don't know how this is going to turn out. I know we're going to find out this weekend.
See,
my brain is like, I feel like we just needed that one more race beforehand, like within this last month, whether it was last weekend, 2 weekends ago, to just fine tune and make sure everyone is on the same page before now taking this test.
However, I will say, Coach Smith, always, you know, doing really well with OK State.
Yeah.
Trust what he's doing.
Okay.
So
I trust the process.
For that reason, now that we shift focus to the men.
Wait, I have my statement. Are you shifting to? Oh wait, go ahead.
Oh
sorry.
Wait, you had
no,
two
no,
questions
to
the statement. What's your statement?
Well, one question's for the guys. I had a statement for the ladies because we were talking about the ladies.
Well,
let me make my statement.
Okay.
BYU, back on BYU. I'm excited to see what Carmen Alder does. I know what we just talked about.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Pre-Nats.
Yeah.
1936 for 6K. She's a junior. I know you said you remember running with her in
but far behind her in high school. But
on the same starting line with Carmen Alder. So I'm just excited for the BYU woman as a whole, especially just seeing what Carmen Alder did.
I feel like she's one that could be a dark horse that maybe people don't expect, and she could be up there to contend, I think.
Okay, that was my statement.
Okay, statement. All right. Shifting to the men.
Okay.
I know we just had that whole conversation about OK State. Will they be ready? They haven't raced in a while. I am putting my money down that they will still win.
OK State.
OK State.
Oh,
okay. If you look at the, you know, the crew that they have there right now, like, I think it's hard to deny it. I mean, they're still one of the top-ranked teams in the country, despite not having really raced much at all this season. And I think Dennis Kipengedich could win for them. I think he's a stud. So those are my picks for the men, personally.
I agree on the individual men pick.
Okay.
The thing is, team-wise, I'm like, again, being sharp. If OK State messes up anywhere, BYU is going to be right there. They're like, to me, they're neck and neck. So don't,
fair.
Like.
No, it's fair. I mean, then BYU has been a great team, so.
So, because, gosh, BYU is coming off of a second place finish at Nettycombe.
That is true. I mean, they have that in the back of their mind. They're sharp.
Again, it's that fine-tuned race, and again, underneath horrible conditions.
So is BYU your pick?
BYU's my pick here.
All right. I mean, I can't discount that. Like, I think I wrote down in my notes, I said maybe BYU, I'll pick BYU if I want to shake things up, but I'll go with K-State. But who do you have winning the individual
tournament? Oh, Dennis, too.
Okay, Dennis. Okay, so
we're
kind of the same. So basically what you're telling me is we're almost the same across
almost.
The board.
Yes. Mm-hmm. With a few.
Also, another question. I know you wrote this down too.
Oh, yes. Almost. Oh,
that's your second question. Go to
my second question.
Mm-hmm.
Is our guy Alex Mayer debuting at conference?
We don't know. He has not run yet this season in the lone race at Cowboy Jamboree. So that's also going to be a key too if they win.
That I think is like. I don't want to say. Actually, no. I'm not going to say that because I don't feel that way. I'm just really curious to see if he's going to debut.
And yes.
If he does, how is that going to help OK State? Like, obviously, I know it's going to help OK State, but...
How much? Yeah.
Where is he at right now?
Well,
again,
we'll
it's that fine-tuning question I had. You can't just take the test without getting
the
pre-test.
Well, we'll find out on, this weekend how that works out for them.
All right. It's going to be an interesting weekend. Next week's show, y'all, just be prepared. All right, Big East Championships. I'm excited for this because it's going to be live on FloTrack, the Big East Championships preview. It's going to be exciting stuff. I think we're also kind of on, we're spot on with this on
all angles.
Well,
can I just say one thing?
No, you can't say anything.
Going into Big East, here is my statement. Three words. Georgetown.
Three words.
Georgetown. Georgetown. Three things.
Okay.
They are so good. They're going to dominate here.
That was four words.
Georgetown. Three words.
Oh. I thought you were just planning in my head that you were talking about Georgetown. Like,
no.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
If we're looking at this, like, I feel like the picks are pretty straightforward. The Georgetown women are ranked third in the nation.
Yep.
And, if you're looking what they've done this season, they finished third at Nettycombe.
Yep.
Behind NC State.
Yep.
And fifth at UVA. Like, what else is there to say? Chloe Scrimgeour, I hope I said her name right, is really good as well.
I agree.
She could be in that national title, contention too, individually.
Agree.
She finished seventh at Nettycombe in 1959, second at UVA, 16-19 for 5K. So, I think I'm more just curious to see how well they'll do.
Yes, I agree with all of that. Men's side, I feel like Villanova.
Oh, Villanova, yeah.
It is solid.
Agreed.
Solid.
Villanova, they won last year. They're solidly looking like the favorite going into this, on the men's side. On the individual front, I could see it being interesting, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I have Liam Murphy from Villanova winning the title.
Yeah.
So for each, I have the individual winner, that team then winning the team title.
Yeah.
Liam Murphy was third last year, so I think he can get the title here.
I agree. I agree on every aspect. I feel like Villanova looks strong. Liam leading the front, Chloe leading the front for Georgetown, especially after what we saw at Nettycombe. You cannot deny that Georgetown is ready to just attack conference.
I mean, if you're in the top three behind NIU and NC State, I mean, you're legit.
You're legit. All right, couple more key things here on conference championships. Ashley and I are just going to get rapid fire. There's not going to be any...
No explanation.
No explanation. Just hit me with it. We might give each other some awkward stares because I don't know if we're on the same page. But it might be like, Ashley, you're sure about that pick? Liv, are you sure about that pick? Okay,
yeah.
Big All Tens.
Right. Okay, women, individual, Addie Engel, Ohio State.
I agree.
For the women, team, Michigan State.
I agree.
Okay, so we're in agreement so
okay,
far.
Okay, yeah.
All right, men, individual, Bob Liking, Wisconsin.
I got Jackson Sharp.
From Wisconsin. Interesting. So, all right. And then for the men's, I have Wisconsin.
I have Wisconsin. Okay.
Right. Why do we have to be on the same page? We need to be...
We were different.
No, but they're still similar. I need us to be having some debates.
Well, don't agree with me.
Okay. I made these first. All right. So, Pac-12, Olivia, who you got?
Oh, gosh, I'm looking at my notes. Wait. Pac-12. Oh, just kidding.
Did you not make Pac-12 picks?
Nope, I did not.
Wow.
My brain.
Well, then I will make my Pac-12
picks.
Go
ahead.
Stanford.
I don't have the woman right.
Stanford sweep, men okay. and women will win
I have
the team
Stanford.
Titles.
Yes, I have Stanford. I just have the wrong name down. I don't know why I did
individuals,
that.
Individuals, you have Kaylee Mitchell from Oregon State winning the title there. And for the men, Kai Robinson.
I have Kai Robinson, Colorado.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
It might be, but I'm feeling confident.
Tell me more about that.
No, these are rapid fire. Remember, there's no explanation. I feel like Colorado is just sneaky.
Sneaky? I don't know. I feel like this is the year when you can catch Colorado off their game from the men's side.
You probably could.
So I think Stanford, even though Stanford maybe isn't having as strong of a year as compared to last year, like I think they could come in and win this title. So I'm going to go Stanford both sides.
Okay. All right. SEC.
Parker this is Valby. Pretty. This is pretty simple. Parker Valby is going to win the individual title for the women. I think the Florida women will also win the team title there. They've shown they're really strong this year. The men, the individual, I could see this going either way. I picked Victor Kiprop. He's the defending champion last year from Alabama.
Yes.
He's gotten beat by his teammate this year already once, I believe, but I think he has the...
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that.
He'll defend his title, and then I think the Arkansas men, after what we saw at pre-nats, they will win that title.
I agree.
Gosh, why do you have to agree?
Because I agree. to me, that makes sense. It's like, Kiprop I'm not concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it's my teammate.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. We'll have to come in to the next podcast and then just keep a little tally of, like, how we did.
Yes. Yes, we do. Just keep
And then keep report the tally. Back.
Yes, I agree. I like that. All right, the final segments. I love this. Dedicated to the one and only Sha'Carri Richardson.
Yes.
This past weekend, F1 was here in Austin. I actually spoke with Taylor, who's in videography editing. I went scuba diving in a pool yesterday. So he was supposed to go with me, did not go scuba diving.
He went to F1 instead.
He went to F1.
I see.
So from what I heard, nearly almost half a million people were here in Austin for F1. On top of that, there were a few celebs that made some appearances, and Sha'Carri Richardson is one of them. So,
there you go.
Here's the photo. Love it. I just thought it was awesome. And the fact that she was here and a few others, I saw Talitha Diggs Instagram that she was here.
Yep.
Deaner Asher Smith was also here. And to me, that makes sense because she's going to be training in Austin now. So I guess she is currently in the city. And then Sinclair Johnson, we heard through the grapevine, was here
there
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, F1. How do we feel about F1 and everybody popping
actually,
in for this?
I have a question.
Okay.
Was Sha'Carri Richardson a fan of F1 before going in, or is she now one afterward?
I think after.
After?
I think after.
I mean, I thought it was cool. It was cool to see all the, you know, all these different sports kind of come together for this one moment, F1. You know, like, almost in a way, because you know how there's the whole F1, like, Netflix series?
Yes. Yeah.
The same people are making one for track and field coming up next year. It's kind of that same sort of situation where, like, that put F1 on the map. I'd see kind of track in that similar space, almost like F1 and track are a little similar.
Yeah.
So
it makes sense. It's the competitive side, the racing side.
Yeah.
Fastest car.
Yeah. But that wasn't the only Sha'Carri Richardson news of the week.
No, it was not.
No.
What else happened? We got big news on Thursday.
Yeah. Lots of news happened on Thursday. That was the day.
Thursday. What was the date?
That was Grant
October.
Fisher. Goodness.
What was Thursday's date? October 19th, 2023.
There's a lot
going
of
down in history as one of the busiest track and field days.
Yeah. So on Thursday, the Dallas Independent School District Board voted on naming the track at John Kincaid Stadium inside, lots of names, inside the Jesse Owens Athletic Complex. They're naming that the Sha'Carri Richardson Track. Now it's a track named after herself. Very cool. I think that's really, it's a great honor, you know?
I think that to have a track named after you is huge. That is, like, I think one of the highest honors that any athlete can ever receive. And to my understanding, the track is just 1 mile south of Carter High School, which is where Sha'Carri attended. And according to the district website, the track serves as a tribute to Sha'Carri's remarkable achievement in sports, and it has significant ties to the Dallas community, which I know she was talking, I think she was mentioning at Worlds, or it might have been Prefontaine.
The Prefontaine?
where she was talking about going back to Dallas.
It was pre-Fontaine.
Yeah. Yeah. And how she just likes going back home and spending time with, you know, the family there. I think that's honestly huge. And I'm so happy to hear that the Dallas community is recognizing Sha'Carri for her accomplishments.
And she's, you know, one of the, probably the biggest person to come out of Carter High School, you know? Like, that's a huge moment for that school, for her. Like, I think that's really cool.
Okay. The final question to end the podcast. I don't know how this is going to go down, but this kind of came up in the office today. We were talking about, in 10 years, who's going to be more famous, Noah Lyles or Sha'Carri Richardson?
I think this...
Well, so my brain just started, like, spinning.
I feel like this came up because we were talking about getting a track named after yourself. And I think someone brought up, like, will Noah Lyles get a track named after himself? And then we got down that rabbit hole.
We went down the rabbit hole. So, I feel, to kind of give some background, this is how my brain kind of dissected this, right? Like, Noah Lyles graduated high school in 2016. Sha'Carri graduated 2018. Noah Lyles, which I didn't understand or realize this, but I knew he went to T.C. Williams. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they recently changed the name. Like, T.C. Williams was the name of the school from 1965 to 2021. It's now called the Alexandria City High School. So another question came up is, do all of his records carry over?
Yeah, I mean...
It's not the same school, though.
It's the same school, different name.
It's not... The same school,
it's
though.
It's the same school.
Ashley's like,
it's just a different name.
She's a different name. Okay. I agree with you. I feel like the school, I feel like the records would carry over. But, like, I'm thinking right now, and I'm just like, I'm thinking about the goals that Noah Lyles has, and so much can happen in 10 years. That's the thing. So much can happen. Will we see Noah Lyles and Sha'Carri Richardson continue their athletic careers for that long? Might be a little bit challenging. But I'm thinking, if I don't want to put this pressure or say that Noah Lyles will only be remembered for this, because he's being remembered now. Like, what he accomplished at Worlds this year was remarkable. Is it going to take a world record for people to, like, know Noah Lyles? People know Usain Bolt. Ask any person on the street and be like, do you know who Usain Bolt is? And they're going to be like, yeah, he's the fastest man in the world.
200-meter American record.
Usain Bolt world record. Like, I honestly think, here's my opinion. I really think, and I mentioned this during Worlds, that I truly can see Noah Lyles breaking Usain Bolt's 200-meter record. I truly genuinely feel that way. I'm all in support of that. I feel like it can happen. I wanted it so badly at Worlds. But I feel like this upcoming 2024 season is going to be remarkable. I think, to just answer my own question, Noah Lyles, I think, will be more famous in 10 years.
I'll probably say the same.
I don't know.
I mean, I said the same thing. I mean, think about it. He has a 200-meter American record. I mean, it's hard to say because I think they're both very famous in their own right, and I'm not trying to discount any of them.
Oh, absolutely not.
But I also feel like, you know, Sha'Carri, you know, she does have that demeanor, that personality that truly relates to fans that I think could stand the test of time. But also Noah Lyles, I think he's just, like, very... He's making an effort to put those, like, those goals out there for the mainstream to understand.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, to an extent, Sha'Carri's doing the same. But I'm going to say Noah Lyles.
You're saying Noah Lyles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I'm thinking, like, currently in this state... Like, today, I would probably pick Sha'Carri.
Okay.
Sha'Carri Richardson. I feel like if we go down 6th Street here, and we ask people, do you know who Sha'Carri Richardson is? People are going to know. Like, people are going to know Sha'Carri.
I don't think people are going
to
know.
I don't know. To be honest. But, like, Sha'Carri's, like, I feel like everything that Sha'Carri has been through and has done in the public eye, people are, like, supportive of her. And rightfully so, right? Yeah. So, I think...
But are they not supportive of Noah Lyles and his quest for breaking the world record? He has a whole Peacock documentary.
That is very true. But how many people are in quest for world records? You have Jakob Ingebrigtsen going after world records, too. You know? You know what I mean?
Okay, like, but he's trying to take down Usain Bolt's. Not saying it's going to happen, but he's putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there right now. I think it can happen.
I mean, think about it. Again, like I said, he's already an American record holder. He took down Michael Johnson's American record. Michael Johnson is still remembered today.
That's true.
And think about it. if he's ahead of Michael Johnson on that record list.
So you're saying right now, if we were to go down 6th Street and ask people, do you know who Noah Lyles is or Sha'Carri Richardson? Do you think people are going to say, I know Noah Lyles over Sha'Carri? Like today, like if we were to end this podcast right now, I want to
say yes, but I know it's going to be no. They're going to know Sha'Carri more, I think.
I think so too. That's what I'll say. But I'm thinking, because the question is...
Actually, I think the better question, when is Noah Lyles going to get a track named after himself? Noah, make that happen. That's the next step.
Make it happen.
I'm surprised we didn't see Noah Lyles at F1.
Now that you say that, I'm kind of surprised too.
Yeah. Could have been hanging out with Sha'Carri.
I can see him being there. I wouldn't be surprised if someone was like, hey, I saw Noah Lyles at F1.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
Hey, what was he doing this weekend?
I don't know.
Probably at a football game.
Something. Not at F1.
Not at F1. All right, the last thing I just want to mention before we end the show is Pan American Games, I believe, kicks off today. I believe.
Yes, November 4th. It's going to be a long stretch of competition, so that'll be exciting. We'll have the U.S. athletes there competing. And I think we need to put another plug here. We'll have the Big East Cross Country Championships live this weekend on Flow Track, as well as a bunch of high school state cross country championships.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I know you're very excited
about. So many championships. We have Kansas,
Colorado, Kentucky. The list goes on.
There's so much happening here.
If you want to see up and coming stars of the sport compete, tune in this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much. As always, we would not be here if it wasn't for your love and support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Flow Track Podcast. Make sure you give us a like, review on Spotify, Apple TV. I don't know why I keep saying Apple TV. Apple Music, wherever you listen to your podcasts and music, we want to hear from you and everything. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Ashley and I will see you again next week, same time, Monday, 2 p.m. Central Time. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again soon.